We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today is producer and co-founder Brian Goins.
What's up, guys? Hey, Kelly's four.
Kelly at the four. Well, Kelly at the five, Bam at the four. We're going to get into that in a second. On the bottom left-hand corner, producer extraordinaire, my good friend, Alex Solana.
What up?
And on the bottom of the screen, here on twitch.tv/MIHeatBeat, where you can catch all our podcasts and post-game show, Hangover Time, and the pregame show. We are debuting a brand new pregame show that has branding and a bunch of stuff, so we're really excited for that. On the bottom of this screen is our professional screw up. Also, you can hear him on Five on the Floor, Alex Toledo.
Yep.
How's it going, man? It's been a minute. It's good to have you back. Your name says Ethan Skolnick, but that's fine.
I totally forgot we're on Zoom.
No, I know. That's so funny. Like when you logged in, it's like, oh, what a treat. Ethan. Ethan's coming on. That's fun.
Yeah, I get Ethan's account just to take some of the production stuff off of him.
Yeah, no, that's good. All right, so, you know, we have this wonderful cast of people here to talk.
Some of the production stuff or all the production stuff?
All of the production stuff.
Listen, Alex.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about me when you said producer extraordinaire. I don't know.
No. Let me tell you something. Alex is a workhorse wherever he goes. Alex, you we need that shirt, you know, the hardest working, best conditioned, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's you.
Nah.
You're a grinder. And you're up at, like, 5 in the morning. Alex will text me. Chat, I swear to God, I'll get a text at Alex for 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning. He's like, bro, you should listen to, like, this podcast. Like, oh, yo, Round Ball Rock was hilarious. Or, like, yo, this Desus and Mero pod. I, like, fucking, look at the Round Ball Rock shirt. At, like, 4:30 in the morning. And I was like, Alex, what are you doing?
Ubering.
Just Ubering.
You think I just Uber in silence? Like, I gotta listen to something.
I don't blame you. It's just That's funny. True. It's just... The odd times, you and the homie Clutch Adam over at Five Reasons, you guys are the ones that DM.
Oh, yeah, me and Adam will only talk at that time of night.
Adam will just, like, Adam has this thing now, whenever the Raptors lose, he DMs me a picture of Kyle Lowry.
That's hilarious. That's
it
hilarious.
Really is.
Wait, what kind of pictures? Like, funny pictures?
It just depends. Like... Sometimes it's a Heat jersey shop. I mean, last time it was just, like, I think it was a Clutch Points Kyle Lowry shirt. It's funny. I love it. It's great. Listen, we can get into
Wait,
that
do you
later.
Own a Kyle Lowry jersey yet?
Have I
you
don't. Not, I don't like jerseys. By now? I have two Heat jerseys. I have one. I have a D-Wade Reebok jersey from 2005, like the old school, the Reebok jerseys. And I have an Adidas. I think it's an Adidas Wade jersey. It's a white one. I got it when he left. So I was at Miami International, yep. And I was walking by the Heat store, and they had, like, it was a sad swingman Wade jersey for, like, $30 on sale, and I was like, I should get this. And I didn't have a white. Although I don't think I've ever worn it.
So. That was probably right before he switched over to Nike. So you actually got the better quality jersey because the Adidas ones are so much nicer.
Are they?
I disagree.
Solano, I don't look good in jerseys. Like I'm not Christian Hernandez or statistician. Like I can't pull off a jersey.
Yeah. You're right. You don't look good in jerseys. And
I don't.
I have like 50 Heat jerseys. I don't ever wear them. I literally have a Kenny Hasbrook jersey. I have a Patrick Beverly.
Most random jersey collection.
Yeah. I have
your jersey collection's more random than
should I bring down some of my best jerseys?
Well, which
yeah,
for a Kenny show. Hasbrook?
I have a Kenny Hasbrook jersey. I have a Patrick Beverly Miami Heat jersey.
Why?
That is even possible. Is that a training camp jersey?
Which is a gem.
Before or after you got traded or cut?
Before. That's a gem. That's one of my personal favorites.
How'd you even find one?
Yeah. I mean, I have the hookup. I also, and it's game worn too. I also have,
game worn from what game? He didn't even play.
It's game worn. It's game worn.
Preseason.
I also have a number 3 Steve Smith jersey, which I fucking love. I wore that during the LeBron years. I wore the number 3 white Heat jersey to playoffs. People would ask, like, why do you have a 3 Smith jersey? Who's Smith?
That's just a dick move.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Alex, when we do the watch parties, you got to come in like the those random jerseys. The most random jerseys that you have, you got to come in them.
I mean, I just showed you my cards. Kenny Hasbrook is easily, that's my go-to because that is my most random jersey I have.
Alex, how fast could you go get the Patrick Beverly jersey?
Oh, I have it stream right now. Yeah,
all right, you go. Alex will go and we'll talk.
Joey's BRB. Asking for it.
Okay, Joey's asking for it.
Did he explain his hockey jersey already?
I don't even want to get into the hockey. That's just an abomination, as you call Jermaine O'Neal's playoff performance against the Celtics. So, Alex, now that we got Solana out of the way. I know, it really is. I think about it all the time. I wrote a piece for MiamiHeatBeat.com. It's kind of about the Heat and their power forward situation, a bit of their revolving door there and how Jay Crowder really left the hole. It turned into a hit piece on Mo Harkless, including my favorite stat, which is Mo Harkless was shooting 17% from the field before yesterday. I don't know if that's changed. He did not make a shot. I don't know if he attempted a shot, so I don't know how those numbers changed. But Mo Harkless shooting 17% from the field. The Heat have
that means they
offensive.
Stay the same.
His true shooting went down, but I don't think his actual field goal percentage went down.
Okay, good for Mo Harkless. Kind of hold steady at 17%. The Heat have a 78 offensive rating when he's on the floor, which is just fucking awful. Second worst net rating on the team behind Kendrick Nunn, who's minus 36 net rating. Harkless is minus 32. So, Alex, the other thing in the stat in the piece that I found that I really thought was interesting is that Harkless was playing like 93% of his minutes at power forward for Miami via cleaning the glass, and I don't think he had eclipsed 60% ever in his career. So it's not really surprising that hasn't looked good. I kind of want, before we get into the Kelly stuff, your, because you haven't been on in a long time. Well, I kind of want your thoughts on the Mo Harkless experience.
I mean, he's bad. Like, there's no other way to put it. Like, I think we've just talked about him so much, whether it's you guys or Five on the Floor or Heat fans in general. Like, it's obvious at this point. Nobody is arguing otherwise. Nobody would dare to. And, you know, the numbers just prove it. And they're even more, like, I read that piece and they were even more shocking to me than I thought they would be. Like, he can't even give you a baseline of solid defense and, like, you know, 1-3 a game or even a layup. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I said to you before the season and also last season when we argued about Mo Harkless for a month for some reason, that he's the most average player in the league. And now, like, he hasn't even been average. He's been so below average. Like, that's a problem. That's a problem. If you can't even get an average baseline from him, it's like, well, he's not, he shouldn't be in the rotation, period.
Brian, what are you laughing at?
Christian said that he didn't know that we were having John Cena on the show. I'm guessing it's Solana.
Why is John? Why is he John Cena?
Because I think
because I wasn't there.
Jersey.
Oh. No. Because I was gone. So there was
you were gone and he came back. Well, we will reveal the jersey in a second. We're gonna have a grand reveal in a second. But Alex, yeah, kind of to your point. Like, and he hasn't. You know, we talked about this before. He hasn't been able to guard up, right? So, like, you know, for all the shit we've talked.
Isn't able to guard, period. Like, I don't think he's looked good guarding in general. No. Like, maybe he's had like a minute or two here and there, but I can't remember.
Like, when he's the help defender, when he's that last guy in the back line helping, he's grabbing one rebound per game, which is just fucking absurd. And when he's the last guy kind of helping on that rotation, I was joking that like Giannis turns the corner and he starts laughing. He's like, oh, this? Okay. Like, cool. Like he's going to the rim. He's not scared of him. It's not like even Olynyk, even though like Kelly's not a good defender, at least you know that he's going to be in like decent charge position and he's at least going to fish for that. Like, what the fuck does Mo Harkless give you when he's rotating on the help?
Literally nothing. Like, that's the thing. I thought you could at least get okay defense from him. He isn't even giving you that.
Just a foul.
Joey in the chat says someone has to take the wheel picture with Harkless and just edit a one on that paper. he's been bad, man. He sucks. Like he's been, and I was clamoring for him and he hasn't been good at all.
Maybe your worst take.
My worst take is I called Okoro White Chris Bosh light.
Oh yeah, you said Shaq wouldn't work in today's NBA.
I said Magic Johnson would not be a superstar in today. I've said a lot of bad takes. I don't even think that medals, but
he like, called it the makes Raptors a good team and look at them, they're in last place.
Listen, you know what? They are I'm not gonna make excuses for them. Nick Nurse is throwing people under the bus. Salada, have you seen that? Have you seen what Nick Nurse is doing he's like, Malachi Flynn, I don't really know what he brings you. And I was like, holy shit, what are you doing, dude?
Why'd you bring me in with a Raptors question, Nick Nurse?
I don't know. I wanted to involve you.
I know.
You're supposed to say Spo would never.
If not.
Yeah, that was an easy thing. You're just like, wow, Spo would never.
He Nick really Nurse, like, more like took Nick shots worse. At multiple guys. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's a thing.
Stole Jack's job.
Yo, shout out to MCAS for the Prime sub. Really appreciate you. Weird Alf, he gave us bits to ask a question. Said Heat Beat is stealing my funds. So there's that. He also asked, why does Alex love this shit? Is Alex high right now? Does Alex ever get nervous? I don't even know what that is. We read your question.
Wow. You don't recognize that?
No, I don't.
Do other people in here not recognize that?
Yeah, that's a Drake reference. I got you.
Okay.
I don't like Drake.
That song is 10 years old. That's from Take Care.
Yeah,
and it was on the radio a lot.
Yeah, you have to know that song.
What's it called? Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I'm bad. Listen, I've never felt older. Yo, shout out to Notorious Dib for the tier one.
Hell yeah, fucking right. Hell yeah, fucking right is the name of the song.
Hell yeah, right?
Hell yeah, fucking right.
Heifer.
Yeah, another sub.
We're going to get into questions in a second, guys. I see that you guys are asking. I do want to get a little bit into Olynyk before we kind of pivot to making fun of other coaches. Solana, so they started Olynyk yesterday in what felt like one of my more validating moments ever writing and doing podcasting. It's like literally the day before I wrote this giant piece where essentially I end with the Olynyk and Bam pairing makes sense and they do it. It looks great. I think the spacing just makes sense. Precious Achiuwa slides in at that center spot as a backup, and he's been absolutely incredible. All the metrics support it, and everybody just kind of fit into the right position, and and Jimmy was obviously there and aggressive, and it just looked like a cohesive team again.
Yeah, and I don't understand why at times Spo is hiding Olynyk, right? Like, it just feels like he squeezed them out of the lineup at times. Also, six starting lineups through your first six games. I understand Spo likes to tinker with the lineups and I get it. Like, I'm not questioning Spo, but like, that's not really a recipe for success ever. Like, changing your lineup every single game. So give me more Kelly O. Like, just give it to me. I want to see more Kelly O in the starting lineup.
It's crazy. It took six games for Spo to really realize that, hey, KO is probably his best four at this point. I kind of understand how it took him six straight games.
Like Alex, like, I understand the thinking behind that. Like, you get a guy like, okay, you originally start with Mo Harkless at your four because that it just kind of makes sense. Like, you know, okay, he's gonna be that 3-and-D wing. He's gonna spot up. He's gonna play defense. It just doesn't work. And then they start the rotation at center and power forward. And then they start Myers and Bam, and that doesn't work out. And then they start Harkless, Myers and Bam, and that doesn't work out. Then they start Robinson, Iguodala and Bam. And obviously, you know, kind of Andre guarding up is always a mixed bag. And then you finally kind of land on Butler, Iguodala, Adebayo, which Nekias had been kind of hammering for. And it didn't look great against the Mavs, which that would be the team to do it because they're very small and they're wingy and Porzingis wasn't playing and it just didn't work out. The Olynyk thing, just, I don't know. Everybody, Bam, is a good four. He's a better five. They're at their best when they have a spot up 3-and-D wing. But I think Alex Toledo in the regular season, they can eat up minutes with that two-man lineup, and they'll be fine.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at, man. Like, I think once you get to the playoffs, it's a different conversation, and it'll probably get, you know, cut as far as, you know, I don't think Olenek would be a closer or anything like that. But the regular season, it just makes a lot of sense, man, because they like, I don't think you want to put too much pressure on Bam to just be banging with fours and fives every night and having to solve all of their mistakes, especially when Harkless is kind of, you know, he's supposed to be the defensive guy and he's making all these mistakes. So to me, it's like, okay, Kelly knows where to be on defense. He's not a good defender, but that's not going to really be a problem until the playoffs when he gets picked on. On offense, you got, you know, three guys who are really, really good shooters who can move the ball. Like, I think it really makes sense for what they try to do. Like Alex said, like, I think it makes them more cohesive in general.
It's not a long-term solution. I think that whatever they have, I think they're at the position that they have to make a trade. And it's not even like, this is like even divorced from like Harden stuff. It's like they need to find a guy to play small ball for, because for them, when they were at their very best in the playoffs, they were putting Bam around shooters and Jimmy, and they would play high pick and roll when it mattered. In late game, they would run their handoffs off of Duncan. They'd do all that little pistol nonsense, and they were able to switch on almost every action. They were not dropping. They were switching. They were swarming. They were sending help early from the corners. They were moving on defense. And if you play Kelly, you're just not really allotted that. You really have to play a drop. You have to play a lot more conservative. I think Andre, too, is really effective when you kind of play smaller and quicker, because him and Jimmy really get their hands in the passing lanes. They're really smart. And even if they're your backline defenders helping, you know, they're smart. They're going at the ball. Their hands up. He's really
they both
long,
have
too.
Strong like, bases. Like, and yeah. Like you said, great hands. Like, They round it out. And like I said, like, I agree with you there. Iguodala shouldn't be starting either. You know, even though as much as I like Iguodala, like, I just think he's a nice rotation player to have, another good defender to have. But they need another guy. They do. I think it just makes sense when you look at the roster. Like, none is getting shifted out of the rotation. Obviously, Harkless and Myers are now. AZ's not playing. Like, there's things they could do there to consolidate a little bit, especially if you're talking about a finals team, a contender. Yes. But maybe they don't see it that way. Maybe they're just trying to figure out what works and doesn't work.
No, I do think they see it that way. And because I think it's obvious what the recipe was last year in that run of finals, what worked, everything Giancarlo just said. But I don't like the idea of, okay, yeah, they need to go make a trade just because you've realized that you're missing that piece. Like, I don't like being impatient just because, okay, yes, we figured this out. Let's go do it now. Just relax. Look at how late in the season they made that Jay Crowder Iguodala trade. I could be wrong. You could correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember that even being like a part of the discussion. Like, I remember just waking up one day and Winslow was gone, and like I could be wrong about that. I just don't remember it.
They traded like at 8 p.m. It was like they were leading up to the Gallinari, so it was like Andre plus Jay, and then it became they're trying to reroute Jay plus stuff to Oklahoma City to get Gallinari,
my bigger point is let's relax. You know, six games into the season. I get it. We all fucking hate Mo and Kelly O right now might have worked, or it could have just been a case of Oklahoma City's garbage. But I don't like just rushing into a trade, because we need to rush into a trade. Let's just relax. Like, the Heat are going to be a playoff team with this roster. So there's no need to just go out and find somebody just for the sake of finding somebody.
Unless that somebody's like James Harden, right?
No, for sure. I was speaking strictly about the stretch four, right? Like, to fill Jay Crowder. That's what I was speaking specifically about.
Can we get PJ Tucker by himself without a Harden trade?
PJ Tucker's shooting 50% from three right now.
Yeah, because so Clear and VV in the chat says none plus KO for Tucker. Who says no? I think Houston might. And none has not been very good.
No, man, guys, they're owners for Tita.
Did you? I know you.
None is cheap, and Olenek's on an expiring contract, isn't he?
And a white guy.
There you go.
Did you see that? Did you see Chef Trilly's tweet when he says there's a blowout game and Kendrick Nunn is getting minutes somehow, and it's the video from Breaking Bad where Jesse goes, "How does he keep getting away with this?" I fucking lost it, dude. I'm just like, my God.
Trilly's the best tweeter we have on Heat Twitter.
Oh, no, sure. He's our best. Yeah, like, you know, him and Prime Alf, I think, are like, you know, Mount Rushmore. No, not even close. Prime Alf.
Alf's timeline is too filled with like attacking random guys with terrible takes.
I was about to say that. I know
he says that that's his brand, but I'm just saying I prefer Trilly's jokes to
I'm saying prime Alf's arguments. I'm saying like Alf in his prime. Alf in his prime was good.
It was all right. Too much.
It was, he's was. Alf is the most. Alf just retweets Miami Heat beat shit. And like light skin opinions.
I'm only taking shots because he was supposed to be here tonight and he bailed. I guess he left for a reason. It was to get rid of me.
So. Yeah, it was to duck. Clearly. No, really. The person who was supposed to be here with you, I think, was Christian.
And then Christian, I thought you said it was Alf.
No, it was Moose, and then Moose couldn't do it, and it was Chris, and then Alex stepped in. Alex Solana swooped in.
Listen, man, I get it. Yeah. And shout out to Solana bringing back the trio, man. Hey, the last time we did a show together?
Panther Sports Talk Live trio.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Back in the FIU days.
Fuck you, so, Brian.
Nobody heard those shows.
Nobody I listened to
five
shows.
People. Five people in GC.
I
heard
actually
those shows.
Did listen to those shows just for you.
No and way. Alfred. And Alfred. Shout out to Alfred.
Some of them, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, Brandon. Brandon, when we had Eric Reed and Cooper Moorhead. Shout great out shows. To Coop for doing that.
We Coop actually re aired that Eric Reed interview.
Yeah, here. We did. Yeah, shout out to Eric and Coop, who are great guys. All right, guys. So the other thing I really wanted to talk about, and we kind of touched on a little bit with Nunn, was the point guard rotation, because I think that. At the beginning of the season, that was kind of the conversation. It was like, I don't have a point guard. Tyler Hero's bad at this. We gotta stop. He
Whose
sucks.
Whose voice is that?
I don't know. He twitters. Put him to the bench.
Why is what he so 80 years old?
He's scoring 0.7 points per possession as a pick and roll ball handler. This is bad. Turnovers. And
why do you sound like Ron Rothstein?
I don't know. I kind of like that voice. That's going to be my Heat Twitter voice
Eric
for this
and
season.
Can you do Eric and Tony real quick?
I can't. No, I'm not. Please. This is not a piano bar. I will not by request. Maybe if five people sub, I will do my limited fake Eric Reed and Tony Fiorentino. If five people sub, we'll have a sub goal here for an impersonation. Well, then we're not going to do it. So kind of going back to my point, like they had this like really weird situation with the turnovers and the point guards. And Toledo, I feel like Dave really fixed that. I feel like Avery has really settled them. I think that with Jimmy back, it's looked better when he kind of takes the ball handling reps. I think Tyler has kind of grown into that role a little bit more. He had a comment the other day that he said that he likes starting more because the game gets to come to him as opposed to the responsibility of being a spark plug. So I see people tweeting about it, but I kind of feel like that stuff is solved.
Man, yeah. Like I feel pretty good about Tyler starting right now. I think still the way to go. I thought the turnover thing was a little bit overstated as far as with Tyler. Like, I think they all had a bad start in general as a team. It wasn't more on one person, but if it was going to be on one person doing it more often than they should, it was Bam, right? And, you know, we all love Bam here, but he clearly had an uptick there with the turnovers. I do think it's better now, you know, with no Kendrick Nunn playing. And again, not trying to be too mean about Nunn and Harkless, but the less that they play, the better they look. And I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but I do think that's something – that's just kind of proven to be true so far over these first few games that those guys don't really fit with the rotation. I like what they've got with Dragic and Bradley off the bench. Like, I think you could start Bradley if you wanted to. I wouldn't be completely against that. But Tyler Hero, I think he's looked good, man. I think people have overstated his struggles. Like, I think he's obviously not completely developed yet, but he keeps making these baby steps. Like, he's looked good with the pull-up, he's looked good playmaking, he's had all-around games. Like, I think he's done a little bit of everything at a pretty high level, and his turnovers have not been that high.
So he's scoring 1.2 points per possession as a pick and roll ball handler, which is like that's insane. Awesome. Yeah, he's in the 91st, almost 92nd percentile of pick and roll ball handlers. And you know, Solana, like when we kind of went into the bubble last season, they were kind of giving him those reps and it looked a little rocky to start. And he just looked great in that role after a little bit. And I think we've kind of had the same situation happen. And I think probably playing without Jimmy hurt him a little bit because it's just a lot of responsibility. But
yeah,
he's looked really good lately.
Yeah, I think in the bubble, when he did look shaky playmaking, it was just overcompensating with him hitting big shots. And we were all obsessing over the fact that literally in every game, he was hitting a big shot. Bro, to Alito's point, passing by Hero, like his playmaking ability, but specifically just passing the ball, he looks like a fucking veteran, man. Like truly, like he looks like a veteran. I was really impressed in the past two games with his playmaking ability. I don't remember what you asked me because I wanted to get that point out. But
I mean, he's at 5 assists this year. So it's like 4.7.
He's not even a point guard, really.
He would have had a triple double. He would have had a triple double last night, by the way, had he played most of the second half or the fourth quarter. Like he's going to be that kind of guy where he's going to get a night where he can stack up triple doubles. Like that's fucking awesome.
You know, like I think
it's weird.
Yeah, I think the two
still doesn't make sense to me.
You know, because he gets in there, man. Like he's the first motherfucker jumping. He's like he has really like good intuition. He has really good timing. I know he's like really like not a big guy. He's kind of weak and he has short arms. But
to me, that's all that's missing with him is like getting a stronger base, which is going to happen, you know, over time, obviously. But that's really the one because
I just think back. I was really shocked though. I know it was only 2 months, but he didn't come back in any way, shape, or form bigger. Like I was really expecting that from the time of the bubble ending to us starting the season. Again, I understand shortened off season, but 2 months, like or whatever, 10 weeks, you would expect a little bit of muscle, a little bit of bulk, like extra protein shakes. Nothing. Like dude looks just as skinny as he did in the finals.
He told me he's gonna play point guard.
Yeah.
Like I don't hold on, wait a second, but like I don't really like the idea of like kind of like legislating guys' body types. Like people did that with KD a lot, and I don't really feel like
he's
that
still
was
fucking skinny.
That's the thing, though. I get that. I get what you're saying, but KD had a strong base. Like KD, he can be the low man on the rotation. Like we were talking about earlier with the you know help the helper or whatever. KD is good for that position. I just think Hero for every part of defense needs to be a little bit stronger. Like I think anybody could just kind of run through him like on a switch. They always have to come help him.
I'm with G. Like I get what you're saying, but KD is a bad example just because he's 7 feet
way bigger,
anybody.
Way taller.
Right.
For sure.
So like KD, everybody was talking about KD needs more muscle. Like we were all stupid saying that because he's 7 foot and can shoot like the best shooter in the world. So
and he's great intuition.
I just want Hero to not be picked on, you know, to a relentless degree like he was last season. And again, I'm not, you know, we're going to give him time for that. That's not something that happens overnight. But I think that's one way where you can kind of, you know, his defensive impact isn't so negative all the time. He needs to be a little bit stronger.
He's doing a really good job of like hard showing on the pick and roll to let his man recover. And I think that's going to, he's never going to be a guy that you can just switch and be comfortable with. But if he's really good at that hard show, and if the guy behind him's Bam or somebody really good, I think you can survive.
And look, he played good defense on, I want to say it was Middleton in that Bucks game. And in some of those Bucks games, I was looking at like, okay, he can do the one-on-one stuff okay. But when it's like a jump shooting type all-star like Chris Middleton, who doesn't really want to get in the paint, he's not going to back you down on a mismatch like that. So I like Tyler as a positional defender. I like his IQ, just like Duncan Robinson. I just think to me, it's going to get tough in the playoffs. But again, I'm not worried about it. I think you keep him in that starting rotation. I'm good with what's going on with the guard rotation right now. I think, like, by the way, if you're going to talk about trades, if they did something like, you know, George Hill and Trevor Ariza, I think that's the type of thing you could do as far as adding a point guard. I didn't think the whole conversation of adding a point guard to a rotation without making a trade was really viable. I just think there's too many guys already.
Well, what's up with the George Hill love? Like,
he's good.
Nice rotation player you can add. People were clamoring for a point guard, I guess. And OKC and the Heat having history. And, you know, people were speculating that they could just unprotect those picks and get George Hill. And, you know, maybe you send him Kendrick Nunn. I'm like, I'm good with that.
Okay.
I'm good with that only because I feel like Kendrick Nunn's value is in the toilet right now. And he's going to be a free agent next season anyway. And I don't really see what kind of contract they're going to offer. And like he has no value for that reason, because if he, you know, a lot of people are like saying like, oh well, you know, he's a young player, but you know, his contract's up next season, right? So it's like, well, what the fuck do I get? I get half a season of Kendrick Nunn, you know, being bad at pull-ups, like what, you know what I mean? Moose is in on Ariza. I'm kind of mid on Ariza, like I've seen people like say like he's the answer for power forward. I'm not really sure about that.
Better than
like we're gonna he's like skinny like Harkless. Kind of before we hop off the Tyler thing, I do want to mention two things. I think the two things to monitor this season are going to be how he is performing as a pick and roll ball handler, which we just already mentioned. The other thing is how is he shooting on pull-ups? Because
yes, I was going to ask you, how'd you feel about that Bucks game when he was hitting all those pull-ups?
Yeah, I mean, he's from three, he's shooting about 35%, which I think for as good a shooter as he is, you want that number up. But I think he's shooting like 33% for the season or something. It's not like incredibly high as a 3-point shooter. I mean, he started off a little slow, but I have no doubt that that's going to go up. He's a good shooter. The numbers are going to bear out.
He's going to be shooting more, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, last couple of games with Jimmy back, he's kind of, you know, he brought it down some, whereas before he was really happy with the pull up. And I want him taking some of those pull ups because a lot of these guys are dropping pretty far back. And I know he can hit that shot. I know he has that shot in his bag. And I'm with you. I want to see him hit that pull up in a confident, efficient way, just because that's going to really scare defenses to playing up on him even more. And obviously he's a shooter already. But I just think it's like, OK, if they think that he's more likely to pull up than try to, you know, drive or go for the lob, like if he's got all these options in the bag, it's just going to make him a better player.
He needs to create. He's not like a jump out of the page athlete. So he needs to create space with his kind of all the different moves that he has to keep a defender guessing and his shooting. And, you know, he's shooting 45%, 44% on pull up twos and 35 on pull up threes, which honestly, that number on pull up twos is great. I'm loving that. To me, that's a sign of, you know, you are not afraid to attack the defense if they're going to park in the paint, because he's you know, he's not going to finish over the trees. So if they're doing that, it's kind of like Bam, right? So Bam has like that one dribble pull up, which he's been fucking, it's like my favorite thing in the world. Like that, I want him to go to the rim. We'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, kind of Tyler being willing, I think the next thing for him is a floater. You know, and that will really round out the game to a way that
he put in more emphasis into like the crafty finishes, the Kyrie like finishes over the summer, because he came back with some tough
that's
ones.
Good, though.
And, yeah, no, for sure. It's good. And I agree with you there. Like the floater is just such a great way to for guards who can't really finish over guys to get going there if they're going to play up on him, which he's going to eventually get that treatment.
Hey everybody, before we get into today's pod, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here on Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you wanted to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and e-learning course filled with tips and tricks. On top of that, we'll get you show published to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and other listening platforms. And the best part is that you can get this all for $15 a month. That's the same rate that any other hosting site would just charge you for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to your sports experience. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for this episode to find out more. That's bwhustle.com/join. Shout out to Fez Butter in the chat. Heat Twitter OG. Fez says, I want the Heat to trade for Kyle Lowry so Pack can cut him and I can watch G cry live on Twitch. Listen, I if they get Kyle Lowry, I will cry live on Twitch for a couple reasons, because I want him to retire a Raptor, and also I'll be so happy because he's with the Heat.
So corny.
Let's Solana, let's kind of address that a little bit, because I think, well, actually, Brian, I'm going to go to you because I know how much you fucking love trades. Brian, trade season is Brian's time to shine. Trade season is where, ooh, Brian thrives.
Yes.
What do you want? I don't really see a deal with Kyle. Like, and I know that the Raptors are struggling and people have really...
Of course you don't. I do.
Okay, but that's what I'm asking. So it's like, what do the Heat have that they can offer the Raptors that is any kind of enticing?
I mean, the Raptors are going to lose him no matter what, because I highly doubt he'll re-sign there.
Why? Why do you doubt that he'll re-sign?
Because you guys are the worst team in the league this year. You guys are tanking, apparently.
He wants to contend.
What could the Heat send that is enticing to Toronto? Because I've looked for a way to make the deal happen, and I'm like, well, there's Olynyk, and then you got to make, so it's Olynyk, Andre.
Well, he's making $30 million this year, so they'll have to trade either Olynyk or Andre.
Both,
in order to make the numbers work, they have to send out 22 salaries to throw in. If we wait until February 6th, we can trade in Myers Leonard's $9 million to that deal if we had to, which I would definitely do.
Why would the Raptors do that?
Could trade in, why would the Raptors do that?
And then we could trade in a first round pick. That's all you need to trade is a first round pick.
Raptors, you got to get Kelly back, at least the Canadian.
You don't think the Raptors can get more for Lowry than a
not
first
for
round
half
a
year
bad,
Kyle Lowry when he's a rental?
A bad first round pick?
He's a rental. Round pick is probably the
rental thing is a good point
to be able to get.
But the Clippers just gave fucking Marcus Morris a first round pick. They traded a first round pick for Marcus Morris. This is
they signed them for $16 million a year.
Do you realize how old Kyle Lowry is?
He's 35.
Okay.
But
him and Dragic are both the same age.
There's no guarantee that he'll be re-signing like Marcus Morris did with the Clippers.
I mean, like, if you trade for him, I think it's to resign also. Like, I think that if you trade for him,
he would
resign. It would be.
But if you're another team, you're like kind of like Drew Holiday, you're just like, okay, I'm gonna trade him and then I'm gonna sign him.
I think this would be a 1 year run. I think if mommy made a deal like that, it would be for a 1 year run.
They wouldn't give up assets and then not resign.
If he's crazy good and then maybe they'll consider giving him like another 1 or 2 year deal like they're doing with Goran right now.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like another team probably would. Like another good team like Philly can probably trade for him and then want to sign him to a 2-3 year.
Because he'll still be good. It's not like they have the leverage because he's playing on an expiring contract no matter what. It's whether or not they want to give him up for nothing or going to keep him on the roster. I don't know how many other teams that he would really want to play for. I mean, the Clippers could make sense, but they don't really have any assets either right now.
Philly.
I don't think Philly needs a point guard anymore.
Yes, they do.
No, they need it. They definitely did you, Kyle Lowry. I feel like we've...
Let me tell you something.
I'm having a deja vu right now. Have we done this before?
I think what's going to happen is you're trading expirants, and if we had to trade in like
some kind of young
guy, then maybe you trade in like Kaziya Paul or... I mean,
I want him here, Brian. I really want him here because he would change the calculus on their ceiling like tremendously. You can do so many like interesting three guard lineups, and they're just Spo. All of a sudden, Pandora's box opens for Eric Spoelstra, and this team becomes really dangerous for a point guard that can defend and shoot and handle and do a bunch of stuff. I just don't see a deal where another. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe the value for maybe Kyle's value is a bad first round pick. I don't know, but. If you're the Raptors, you might just rather have the $30 million and expiring.
I mean, what did it take to get Goran Dragic at like 30 years
two
old?
Picks,
29 years old.
Two picks.
Okay, so
two picks.
And a bunch of trash.
Okay, so let's go over it.
How bad is one pick and a bunch of trash?
The two contracts, the pick, and then let's say at least one more young guy. Let's say it's KZ. Does that get you there? G, if you're talking about replenishing with two, you know, the pick and KZ and then two guys who help you keep you competitive, I guess.
I think that's where the deal starts. I think the deal is going to start with a pick plus young guy. Like,
that
would
is
you
four
do it
things
if
to give up for a rental?
I have a question.
34 year old. I do
what
get why the Raptors wouldn't do it though. I think
what
like,
if it's
he means
precious,
so much to them.
Precious, a pick and expirings.
I'd do it.
Alex?
I would do it.
I kind of think that's what a deal. I think that's what a deal would look like. I think
that's
something
pretty much
that
what we just talked about, except with Precious instead of KZ. I think it's tough, man. I really don't want to trade Precious, but
Yeah, chat's saying it's not worth it. Chat and Moose thinks it doesn't take a young guy. I mean, I don't really know what you think. Yo, shout out to Brian M.
Lowry would make them a lot better though. I think Lowry is an awesome fit for this team.
Especially this year. Especially this year.
Lowry wants up. Do not like this trade, saying Precious. I like Precious, but
no,
I don't know. I feel like we're also hyping him up a little bit more than we should.
Maybe,
he's been a top five. Nikias said he's a top five rookie. So if Nikias says that, it's gospel.
Nikias also hated scripture. The pick at the time. So what
does he know? Nikias' takes are scripture. I just really don't like the idea of going back to, like, you know, when Bam comes off the floor, they're all of a sudden really, really soft down low. Like, I don't miss that at all.
Chat's really hating this. I kind of have to look. If you do make a trade for Lowry, it's because you're making a run for a title this year. And that's the whole reason
I do
you
think
make a deal for Lowry. You're making it so he can go for a title. I know you guys love Precious.
He fits the bill, what everybody wants.
We're playing on Jimmy's timeline.
By the way, we have
motherfucker in the chat rather
yet.
Have Derrick Rose? Why?
No. Stop
fuck
it.
Here.
Stop it.
Stop.
If they didn't have Goran, maybe, like, he's just the worst Goran. No, but the thing with, Lowry is...
If they trade KZ to Toronto, that probably the best team to trade him to because that's the actual team that he actually played great against.
Yeah.
They know what
he lit him up.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense.
Than Siakam.
Send KZ to him. To them.
And we mentioned that Lowry is like really, really, really good friends with Jimmy Butler and Jimmy really wants him because I think that's important.
Listen, the other guy, Alex, I want and I texted you about him, like a guy, and you texted back an option that I really like. So I texted you with Otto Porter Jr. And then you hit me back with like Harry B.
That's what we're talking about, right?
Two guys I hate.
Why? Listen, I like Otto Porter. You know, he can defend
Tucker
up a little bit.
Number one for me. I would trade for Otto Porter.
I think Miami will get outbid for PJ Tucker. Miami just doesn't have a lot that they can really offer. This is why I'm kind of like, for like a guy like that, like a medium sized contract on an expiring.
Trade KZ and an expiring for PJ?
Yes. Oh, easy for sure. But I don't know. That's not going to get it done. I mean, I think we on Miami Heat beat love.
You know, KZ the market.
Akpala. I don't know, man. I just know that blue checkmark Twitter doesn't really think much of KZ Akpala.
It would take
the pick. Either guy's going to take just one first round pick, in my opinion.
See, Nikai is takes a scripture, not blue checkmark Twitter. All right.
That's what I know. Listen, I know. Weird Alf is saying Oladipo.
I think he's probably
Jimmy wants not Lowry more than Oladipo.
I don't think he's getting traded.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you guys and Ethan and Leif over there in Five Regions have really kind of hammered that. I don't think there's a lot of interest from the organization.
No, I don't think it's like that, though. I don't think it's black and white. Like, I don't think they're out on
Oladipo. It's not a preference. It's but not a
there's
preference.
Like, there's other guys that they will be in on over him. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean,
I definitely don't think they're out on him in general. Like, if they pursue him in free agency, I would that be surprising?
Mm.
If other things, you know, fall apart?
Maybe a little bit. I think he'd be worth looking at.
I think they're going to go higher. I think they want more. I think they're going to go a little.
I mean, he looks good. He looks pretty good.
GIF. More. I do want to pivot to a little bit of BAM talk. We always have to get in trade talks.
We've done trades for a while.
We always do trade. And I could not thank Brian M for the 4 month sub. I know we were in the middle of that. Thank you for you, my friend, for the 4 month sub. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, we're one sub away from you doing your Eric and Tony impression.
No, that's one sub. That's one
sub.
No,
that's four. That's four.
If we get two more subs, I'll do my limited fake Eric and Tony.
We had one earlier. I don't think you
guys. Okay, last trade thing, because I do want to highlight the people that gave bits. Ken Boner said, I'm ready to go all in for Al Horford. I don't want to play Al Horford with another big ever again. I saw how that worked in Philly. I don't want to do that. I'm out on Al.
Well, I agree with you, but give Bam some credit. He's not Embiid.
No, he's not Embiid. He's better, but it's just more of a thing. Al Horford
would just be like exactly what you want from Myers, except on steroids. I mean, I wouldn't Mungu. Do that trade either, but.
Do you fuck with Mungu, Solana? I don't like Mungu.
Do not Dominicans eat Mungu?
I'm with you.
I don't like Mungu.
I feel like only Dominicans eat Mungu. It's one of those.
I grew up with Dominicans. My best friend growing up was Dominican. My neighbors were Dominican. Not like one of my brothers, like one of my best
friends. I have Dominican friends too, but I've just never tried it. How is it?
It's like not good.
Is it really? Because it's so hyped on Dominican Twitter.
Like super hyped on Dominican Twitter.
Listen, everybody hypes their own shit. Every country hypes their own shit. Like,
we do that?
Cubans hype Ropa Vieja. I'm not a Ropa Vieja person.
I'm not a Ropa Vieja guy either. I'm not gonna lie.
I love Cuban food.
I also don't eat
yuca. Wow. No, that's just what the.
And I don't drink Cuban coffee.
Oh no, I have a hot take on Cuban coffee. It's like it's a little overrated.
No,
it's a little overrated.
Stop. But it's not. That's like somebody saying
function, right?
The Beatles are overrated. You know, like you're just saying it's overrated because everybody else likes it.
Thank you, Intimidator 001 for the tier one sub. Appreciate you.
How do you not eat like, yuca? I don't get that.
We're bearing the lead here. What's wrong
like
with yuca?
Yuca bites? Like you never had yuca bites?
Whoa. Fried yuca is bites? Different. Fried boy, yuca is different.
Oh, no,
I was just talking about yuca. Who the fuck's boiling yuca? I mean,
man, I'm talking about. Have you ever been to a Cuban party before where they just have the yuca there laid out next to the pork and the salad? That's what I'm talking.
That's dry. No, not that dry shit. No, yeah.
You know they put it on top of other things. It's like part of the dish. I don't. I completely ignore that.
Yeah.
Now give me some fried yuca bites from Puerto Rico.
Yuca bites.
What sauce?
Okay.
The cilantro or the curry?
Cilantro.
Wow. I go pineapple.
Well, not curry
rum
for the bites.
Cilantro. Pineapple rum for the bites are good, but I curry.
I've tried making the cilantro garlic sauce myself. It's nice.
What are the overrated dishes from each of you guys' respective home countries? From your parents.
I think bandeja paisa is a little overrated. As a Colombian, I think bandeja paisa is just.
I don't even know what that is. So I guess my mom's
like, it's like a Colombian breakfast.
It's not a breakfast.
Maybe arepas?
Bandeja paisa is not. No, arepas are not overrated.
It's not a breakfast thing.
It depends what kind of arepa you have.
Now you're Googling it. Bandeja paisa is literally just a piece of steak, rice, beans, maduros, like it. And it comes with a. What's it called? Like the fried pork?
The chicharrón. That cannot be our like countries. Like that's like when people think of Colombian food, like that's what they fucking think of.
No, you know what I think of? I think of anything from Los Verdes. I just think of like the pink sauce. You know,
I hate Los Verdes so much, man.
Wait, why?
I had that take a couple months ago on Twitter where like we all have to come together as a community and agree that Los Verdes isn't actually good unless you're hammered. No. And if something is
who's eating that sober?
But if something's only good because you're fucked up, then it's not actually good.
It's just
open at 3 a.m. and it's greasy. Like, bro, who the fuck is putting all that sauce on quesadillas with chips on top? Like, just give me a fucking normal quesadilla. No, I'm but good. Like,
You're wrong on that. That's their specialty.
That's an affront.
That pink sauce that they layer on the fucking quesadilla.
You don't like the pink sauce?
Bro, it's mids at best. It's mids at best.
Oh my God.
At best. And they layer it with those crushed up stale ass fucking chips that it's a fucking old sweaty guy back there crushing up with his gross fucking hand.
Why did you make that?
Fez is right. He says coming from the chicken kitchen guy. Seriously?
Yes, that's right. This guy who loves chicken
Fez calling
kitchen.
You an arrepentido. He's calling us all arrepentidos.
He doesn't want nothing on top of it. He just loves it plain.
Okay, we're moving on from food tips because you're
well,
food
no, I'm sorry. That one threw me off.
No, we have to list. We have to read some of the stuff in the chat. So Jack says that kennel people do not season their food.
That's just disrespect. There's three Kendall people in here.
Frankie responded back saying, "Hold them accountable, Jack. Unlike Alex, does a spo."
Alex is a resident accountable. Alex, listen, you're the only person in this market who holds Coach accountable.
What are you talking about, man?
You're the only one. Judging from those, listen. Have you listened to the Deuces lately?
Have you asked him about the turnovers yet? Because he asked him about the 3-point shooting last year.
Listen, I haven't been able to actually been on the media calls for Spo most of the time because we record with Five on the Floor directly when like after the game ends, and so that's
just like Hangover Time here on twitch.tv/MIAHeepy. Check that out live.
That was good. That was good. That was a vet move. I'll give you that.
Nice. Yo, shout out to Keiko for the Prime sub. Appreciate you very much. That's five.
You have to do it.
That's not five. That's three.
Four. You said two.
Brian M gave one.
You said
then,
two.
This is three. We need two more. We need two more.
No, you already okay. hit the limit.
And nobody wants to hear this, man. I've heard this impersonation. It's pretty bad.
It's not even good.
I don't care. You promised.
TTG7 asks, give us some bits. What about the trade McCollum for Hero, Nunn, Leonard and a pick, or Duncan, Nunn, Leonard and a pick? I just don't see Portland really doing that, and
they don't want to trade McCollum for Harden. I don't know why they would do it for Hero and younger guys.
And whatever they do, Alex's face is completely sums up.
Like, come on, what are we doing? Like, I'm telling you, that's just making a trade to make a trade because Heat Twitter is fucking it's pissed off that they're 3-3. Like, McCollum, really?
Was it Alf who said that they just see a guy and they're like, yeah, I want him?
I think he said that last week. I think it was Sedano. I'm all in on the Photoshops. Like, Photoshop me everybody. Photoshop me fucking Mike Muscala in Heat jersey. That's cool. But come on, man. Like,
you need at least two all NBA teams to make a Photoshop.
Mike Muscala, please. Don't ever do that.
two all NBA teams for you to get in the photo before Jake Pablo Media or Haters versus Heats Photoshop is you.
Only time I want to see...
what are we doing with McCollum, man? Come on.
Only time I want to see Mike Muscala in a Heat picture is on a poster of him getting dunked on by Bam.
Yes, fucking destroyed him. That was
beautiful.
Okay, Yami Curtis says Blake Griffin to the Heat. Okay, we're moving off trade talks. Blake Griffin is a shell of himself. I love Blake, but no. Kind of moving on to Bam a little bit, Alex, because I know you and I have talked about this. We've texted about this. As much as we like him hitting that little jumper, we need him to go to the rim more because he is a freak of nature. And the jumper's nice to have in the bag, late possession in the shot clock in a playoff game. Bro, against the fucking, remnants of the Dallas Mavericks front court, you got to take that in, man. Like, you got to take in. They're playing the Celtics on Wednesday against that soft ass front line. You know, I want to see you facing up and going to the rim. And I know you agree with me.
Yeah. So to me, I think it's two sides of the same coin. So, I tweeted something out similar last weekend and everybody got on me like, well, one doesn't come without the other. And I think that's kind of an obvious point. Like, but it is true, though, because Bam taking more of these shots and being more willing to take it and not looking so hesitant like he has last year, I think definitely changes how you guard him a little bit because the shot is real. I'm not saying it's his best weapon, but him having that and taking it more often is going to make it easier for him to get to those drives. But that's essentially what I tweeted, that from here on out, like knowing that, he's taking these shots, let's say, three times a game, four times a game, it varies. But as far as what I would like him to increase from here on out, knowing that we're already here with the jump shots, it's definitely the drives. Like, I think I'm good with where he's at right now with the jumpers. I don't need him taking a bunch more. I definitely would like to see him drive more often. Like, I just think it would be, you know, that's really where his value lies the most. I agree with everything you said about him with the free throws. Like, I think we saw that in the playoffs versus the Celtics. He really looks like a different player when he's attacking the basket like that. And I would like to see him go to that option more often. He needs to stop, by the way, like a lot of times when he runs the set, and I know he's always looking to play make first. I'm okay with it, whatever. I would like him to be more aggressive, just like the rest of the Twitter. What he needs to stop doing is, like, when he's running a set or a handoff, he'll pick up the dribble, and then that completely takes away the other options. I hate when he does that. Like, I keep the dribble alive. And I know he's not doing it on purpose. It happens, you know, that it's a game. But that's something that it immediately takes away his other two options. He can't really shoot or drive anymore once he picks up his dribble at the three-point line.
The thing, like, that shit bothers me. The other thing that bothers me is when...
I love what I've seen from him, though.
No, he's been absolutely incredible. Like, besides when he's he'll, like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm going to pull up the Christian tweeted a couple days ago that he's turning the ball over on 28% of his possessions. I think that's gone down. I'm about to pull it up. But the other thing I don't like is, like, when he kind of, I feel like sometimes he kind of predetermines what he's going to do on a possession, that once kind of Duncan comes off the handoff and, like, let's say a guy kind of goes really hard over the screen and they take that away, and then Bam's like kind of pivots, and he are in, like, that one motion, he already knows what he's going to do. And it's like, it's not really a reading the defense kind of thing. It's like, okay, I have decided off this option, I'm going to do this.
And I think that's what separates him as a big man passer between him and Jokic. And I'm not trying, he's not going to be Jokic. Like, Jokic just might be the best passer outside of LeBron in the league right now. You know, he's an actual point guard at center, whereas Bam has kind of been put into that role. Bam was a good playmaker, now put into this role. And So I think it's something that's going to get ironed out over time, but it's definitely, you know, got to get those turnovers down, man.
Like, and I think part of that was kind of the Jimmy stuff, right? He's
for sure
not man. Been. Yeah. I mean, he's his, it's just, you know, when you, when
team,
you're
this team
of,
was constructed for the, you know, Jimmy, Bam and Duncan for what they do and everybody playing around them, not Tyler and Bam.
I think this is going to turn into a more of a North South team as kind of the season goes. I think that, kind of, they've, you know, if Tyler's going to be this level of pick and roll player, I think that they're going to be, and if they're going to have to downsize a lot of times because, you know, they can't really play another guy at power forward that they might want, and they're going to play maybe three guards plus Andre and Bam, right? I think that that's going to really open the door for a lot more pick and rolls, a lot more jump shooting, a lot faster of a pace. And that's kind of, I think, the big difference between this year's team and last year's team. And I would kind of put a little, maybe put a bookmark on the NBA stats handoff possessions and kind of see how that ranges as the season goes on compared to last season, because they just have a lot of firepower to go north-south. And with Bam kind of taking a leap as a scorer, like, Alex, do you think it's unreasonable for him to get to 20 points per game this season?
Which Alex are you asking?
You.
Okay, no, I don't think it's unreasonable. I said earlier, a few months ago on Five on the Floor, I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy, Bam, and Tyler were all kind of hovering around between 17 and 19 points a game around there. I think Bam could get to 20. If I had to bet, I would say he finishes under that, though, just because he, you know, of his, his predilection to pass to other guys first.
Which is fine, by the way.
Like, his field goal attempts are about the same.
He doesn't have to be at 20 as long as we're seeing the
growth in the other aspects.
Right.
Bam took two or three more shots a game, he'd be averaging 24 a game.
Well, I mean, he's shooting about, he's taking about the same field goals that he took last year. He's getting to the line about the same time. I mean, it's, again, small sample size. Shooting a lot better, by the way. Shooting 83% from the line, which is more in line with what he's done, because he was always an above 70% shooter. And last season, he shot a not nice 69% from the line.
Well, he was nice really stroke. Good in the playoffs.
Can I ask you something, playoffs. G? Have you looked at the pace numbers? Because I haven't yet. I watched them. I feel like they're playing somewhat faster pace. I mean, pace than they were last year.
Middle of the pack, and the reason why I checked is because they like rank like near the top of turnovers, and I was wondering if that was a pace thing as well.
They're
last time I checked after the Mavs game, they were middle of the pack, so I don't know how
weren't they bottom 10 last year for the whole season?
I mean, both teams tend to not play fast, and even for all the pace and space shit,
but that's what I'm saying.
They played
That's what I'm saying. That kind of stuck out to me because I'm used to them kind of slowing the pace down. But maybe some of that was just when Jimmy's not playing because he does a really good job at slowing the pace down. Like that's the way that he plays a lot of times, even if they are playing an emotion offense. But I don't know. These past couple of games have stood out to me. Like it feels like they're playing at a faster pace than usual. And maybe that's something they gotta that's going to end up, you know, going down. Because I remember that happened last year at the beginning, too. They were playing in the first 10 games or something. I remember I checked and they were at a top 13 pace or something like that.
I wouldn't say that they're playing fast. I think they're playing frantic. Solana, like, I don't know if you've noticed, but like a lot of times,
that's
like
Bam gets a better way to describe it.
Bam gets that outlet pass, right? Like he's like looking to push, but I think a lot of times they don't have options. Like I think the other day Duncan threw a hit ahead pass to I forgot who and so threw bad. It.
Did you see Spoke's reaction to that?
Oh, it was so funny. It was our reaction.
So pissed.
I love Duncan, so I don't want to get mad at Dunk. Like I get what they're trying to do, but they're just trying to be something that they're not, which I think contributes to the turnovers.
Yeah, but I'm cool with them like experimenting. Like I'm cool with I know a lot of those BAM turnovers were ugly as fuck, but I'm kind of cool with, you know, him just trying out new things, him trying to be more aggressive, him trying to handle the ball more, trying to fucking be Magic Johnson at times. Like whatever, man, dude, that, like it's fine. That's why the overreaction to Hero at the beginning of the season, like all that shit is fine, man. It'll work itself out.
Perspective is stupid, Alex. We got to react to stuff. We got to trade people. We got to demand that Tyler Hero gets benched. That's not how sports coverage works.
All right, then
Do you think Nuance makes money? Do you think Nuance gets an audience? Nobody wants Nuance. Everybody wants hot takes. Everybody wants to trade people. Everybody wants a Moharkless hit piece. That's what gets clicks, Alex. You should know this.
Yeah,
you work for a media empire. Intercom.
You just talked about the pace numbers, or like get the fuck out of here with that. Like
fuck Nuance.
It's a totally different. How are you even analyzing that when what Toledo said? Your number one ball handler has missed most of the games. Like get the fuck out of here. Then don't bring up the numbers.
Which is why, I mean, and I wrote that in my piece. It's like, you have a 5-game sample where Jimmy's played 2.3 games. I was like, none of this means anything. That's, this is like so.
Like, people were mad at me for not being more worried. And I'm like, if this keeps going for a couple more weeks, sure. But man, like, we've seen 3 games of Jimmy. Like, what? I don't know what to say. They just got to the finals. Maybe if they would have lost in the second round, we would be talking about a different type of team, different type of expectations. But they got to the finals, and they pretty much brought back the same roster. Like, you're looking at their rotation now, the way it is now, they pretty much only swapped out, what, 2 guys? Like, is it basically just Jay Crowder for Avery Bradley? Like, like they added a couple of new guys as well, obviously. But I just think
they're
like,
not.
You got to give it a little bit more time.
They're going to have a really interesting playoffs if they don't make a trade. And they're going to also have a really interesting trade deadline because of kind of everything that we've talked about today. I think this is kind of like, okay, we're at a point where I think they've stabilized a bit, right? They look pretty okay. They look pretty good. They have some issues, right? So we kind of talked about, you know, the kind of the point guard situation where you can kind of see, but at the end of the day, shout out to you, Alex, that, you know, Goran is going to be the starter in the playoffs. And then I guess the question then becomes, you know, are you going Goran, Tyler, Dunk, Jimmy, Bam? Are you going really small, or are you benching Duncan or Tyler? Right. Like, I think those are the questions that you start asking if they go as is into the playoffs. But I think their power forward answer is still a question mark, you know, for games that matter. I think their guards are really solid. I think, you know, what you're going to get from Jimmy. Avery Bradley's been like one of the league's best spot up shooters through 6 games. It's crazy.
He's not one of their 8 or 9 guys for sure.
They got to make a trade right now. Riley has to make a fucking trade tonight. I'm demanding a trade. Every game is a must win game from here on out. Every single
Thank
game.
You. Finally. That's what I'm saying.
I like that mentality, man. That's good.
Actually, last night was called a must-win game by the Sun Sentinel. Just for the record, it was.
I mean, if they lost that game, you can't lose the fucking lottery team.
We'd be having a different pod right now.
Oh, we'd be having a totally different
pod. We'd be having the pods that the Toronto Raptors fans were having.
Oh, man.
Dishes and Dimes.
It's bleak over there at Dishes and Dimes.
Bunch of frauds.
Bleak.
The Raptors, not Dishes and Dimes.
So chat's really angry at us because we haven't answered questions, primarily Weird Alf's questions.
Yeah, so, Weird Al. Okay. You want to read some of them, Brian?
I mean, they're basically the same question over and over. So Jack's wondering why you hate Precious Achiuwa. Alex Toledo.
Yo, he's trying to create his narrative, man. It's one of his weird bits that I still don't understand.
Did you know Nikias does not like Steph Curry?
Why?
Is that real or is that another Twitter bit that I don't understand?
That's a Twitter bit that.
But, yeah, but why?
Like his game, or like personally, they have beef.
Yes.
Is it because he didn't put him in first team All NBA?
I don't know. I don't know where this bit started, but I just see people tweeting Nikias. You know, why are you hating Steph? Or when Steph balls out, they're adding like, you know, Boogie Banskins or all those Laker people and Nikias. Just like, what did poor Nikias do?
Banksy. That's how you pronounce Banksy.
Banksy, whatever. Those I hate them. They're so fucking annoying.
Bankskin.
Yo, all they do is like they fucking love LeBron. All they do is fucking like stan LeBron. And when LeBron was here,
you're gonna go after Lakers Twitter again? You didn't learn your lesson the first
time?
It's just
annoying. I know. I learned my lesson.
Wasn't that? I think that might have been the four of us where I called one of them a white supremacist and it didn't go well.
Yeah, then I got hit for that. Which by the way, Tim NBA is like one of the nicest guys ever. He talked to me. I apologize. He somehow apologized to me. He gives money to black causes and businesses from his website fund. He's like the nicest person. We fucked up.
Oops. Yeah, you're a piece of shit.
I'm the worst.
Next question, Alex. Do you like my background?
Which Alex?
You, motherfucker.
You.
There's two Alexes on the show,
man. Baby. This is like a family reunion. Like, you haven't been here since Thanksgiving, and like, we just want to show you our new shit, you know?
I'll step away so you can see it better.
You like that? Yeah. Yeah. That's going on a t-shirt soon. You can get that at the Miami Heat Beat store. We got merch, baby. Chat's asking, what's your favorite time of the day, Alex?
Oh, the end of the day for sure. Yeah, I was about to ask that seriously.
That's
It's a lot. What a weird question.
That was a great question.
That's a great answer.
Can someone clip that?
That's what they're lobbing me up for.
Yeah. Yo, somebody clip that, please. Yo, if people chat's happy. They wanted that.